We've been doing, is this talk three? Talk two? We're doing talks. looking at something of how we look out for one another and in community. And if you're new to community, or if this is still an experiment, just listen up and pick what sort of fits for you. We're going to have Hugh come and talk a little bit now about how we look out for one another in personal pastoral care. Over to you, Hugh.
Set the timer going. Dan says it's talk number five. Who's lost a few? Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Really lovely to be here all together. This is just fantastic. Pastoral care. Yeah, another in our little talklets, if you like, just reminding us, re-envisioning us, restating, what's our pastoral care about? What's good practice? How do we go about it? What do we want? And we talk about these things because they're part of our lives as community members. But as with all things that are routine parts of our lives, we can take them for granted. We can forget about them. You know, we can start focusing in on the bits that grate and irritate us rather than the points of life and light for us. So it's really good just to look at these things every now and then, just to dust them down and say, am I appreciating this? Does it have the right place in my heart and in my life? So, sorry, no new theology, no new profound insights. I would be amazed if any of you heard anything that you'd never heard before. So, sorry from that point of view. But yes, our aim is just to re-envision us, to restate what this is, why we do it, and why it's important. And as I was thinking about this talk, a few reflections that came to me were Volodymyr Bezalovsky, one of the brothers, now living in Belfast. He was my pastoral leader when I was dating Mercy. He was the person who helped me 30 years ago make a really good decision, make a really good choice. Yovo. Tom Robinson, Angie's dad, now living in Dublin. He was my pastoral leader when BP suddenly popped up. I worked for BP at the time and said, Hugh, we'd like you to go to Cape Town for 6 months with your family. How does that sound? Particularly as I just made a public commitment about 3 months previously. What do I do? I mean, I wanted to go, but good conversation with my sharing group and with Tom in particular, again, really helped me to make a good decision and a good process that I think worked reasonably well for the community and worked for our family. And after a few months, we got on that plane and went to Cape Town for 6 months. I recommend it. Reiner Tolke, bless you, who's been my pastoral leader many, many years. Working with me when BP, in their wisdom and a little bit of prodding from me, decided to make me redundant after 32 years of employment. And Reiner just really helped me think through a few things which, being selfish, I wouldn't have thought about. Yay, I'm going on holiday. That's really going to irritate this person you made a good choice for 30 years ago, isn't it? If she's still tearing around the house and I'm putting my feet up going, yeah. Reiner did nudge me and say, you might want to think that through again. Okay, so we've said this before. There are so many aspects of pastoral care in our lives, our brotherliness and sisterliness, how we serve each other, our sharing groups, our teachings. These are all part of our pastoral care process. But what I'm going to talk about today, the one-to-one meeting. This can feel like the pinnacle, the apex, the ultimate pastoral experience. And don't we wish that every time we met our pastoral leader, it would be a profound spiritual and life-changing experience. only every other time with me. So that's our subject today. And I've not done any slides, apologies, but I do want to put Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 in front of us. And this says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. And I think that's one of the key things about pastoral care. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm in communities, because I need encouragement daily to take up my cross and follow the Lord. But some other lovely little bits in here. The unbelieving heart that turns away. You know, where in my life do I still have an unbelieving heart that says, no, that's too hard for God. God doesn't love me that much. There are places in my life of unbelief, and I need help to kind of root them out. Sin's deceitfulness, you know. This may come as a surprise to you, but I'm a sinner. I've not got it completely sorted. And, you know, sin is deceitful. You know, we find all these ways to justify it. I need pastoral care. Okay. But the context for this as well is, you know, first and foremost, we've signed up to pastoral care because we made this community commitment and said, yep, I'm agreeing to be part of that process. Secondly, the pastoral process takes place in the context of a relationship. And if that relationship is in a good place, is a good relationship, the pastoral care within it is more likely to be helpful and effective. So we need to get to know our brothers and sisters well, and maybe do some things that are more about relationship building sometimes than they are about actual pastoral care. Okay, so I'm going to dive into just some how-tos, some tips and tricks, if you like, and I'm going to start off doing this from the point of view of the pastoral leader, and then after a bit I will swap role, because not everyone's a pastoral leader, but hopefully we are all receiving some pastoral care as well. Ah, right, pastoral leaders, pastoral caregivers, arrange a situation that works well for the two of you. It's so nice we don't have to be walking the drizzly streets of Acton for all our pastoral chats anymore. Hallelujah. We can go to the pub, the coffee shop, the whatever. Be creative. Pray. Pray beforehand. Pray on your way there. Maybe pray together at the start, maybe pray together at the end. Maybe sometimes devote some of that pastoral time to actually doing some deeper prayer ministry with the person that you're working with. Be a brother or a sister to the person we're pastoring. Listen to them. What's happening in their lives? Come alongside them. Encourage them. Think of, you know, our Lord walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Come alongside them and keep pointing them to the Lord. There are some things that we should probably regularly check on in our one-to-one conversations. Not all of them every time. That would start to feel like a job interview. How's their relationship with the Lord doing? How's prayer, scripture, spiritual reading? What areas of sin are they battling with in their lives? How are things working for them in the community? Their sharing group, their service, relationships with brothers and sisters. How are they doing just living out their community commitment? As in the examples I mentioned, look at the changes in their lives that are coming up and help them to prepare for those things. What challenges are they dealing with in their immediate or wider family or household? The ongoing tension that many of us feel between a community commitment and a church commitment. How's that working for them? How are they doing in their work, their career, their jobs? How are their finances? How's their tithing? All those things that we need to be checking in on periodically. And if they're in formation, folks in formation, the idea is the pastoral care there also looks at the content of the teachings. What's the last talk you heard? Can you remember? What did it say? What did you learn? What was challenging? What was boring? What was, oh, yes, that is a good idea, but I need to work on that. We want the folks in formations to be wrestling somewhat with the material and growing into it and hopefully loving the Lord and testing, are they called to this life as a result of it? As a pastoral caregiver, agree on one or two, maybe even three areas that you really want to focus working on with this person. Is this their prayer life? Is it sorting out their finances? Is it service? Whatever. Agree on some areas that we're thinking, yes, we're going to actually work on that. We're going to make some decisions and see how you're doing next time. And it's also good to share with them some of your own experiences and wisdom. And you've got lots of that as a pastoral leader. Try not to give it all to them all at once. It is about them. So from the point of view of the person being pastored, again, this works for both people. Actually, try not to crowd the session with something big that might well overrun beforehand and something to move on to, which I absolutely have to leave on time for. Again, pray for the time. Do share, do talk, do open up, especially about the messy bits in life. You know, we want to keep those hidden away. But actually, the grace and the life comes as we get into some of those areas. Listen for the voice of the Lord. As you talk, as your pastoral leader talks, what's the Lord saying? How's the Lord loving you and seeking to engage you? Focus on where you're seeing the Lord at work. And again, this might require some extra reflection from some of us. Where is the Lord working in my life? The good places, the bad places? And maybe make some decisions on some areas where we want to particularly concentrate our efforts. Okay. We know that pastoral care is not counseling, not spiritual direction, not somebody else telling you how to live your life, and it's not an encounter with a life-changing guru. Sorry, your pastoral leader is not that. That's the Lord. That's Jesus. That's where we go to for that. Some other things just to bear in mind. And I know I'm rattling on this because the good bit's coming next. It's not always going to be a deep and meaningful and profound chat with your pastoral leader. Hopefully quite often. But yeah, do something more sociable, practical, if that helps the person. It's about caring for them after all. Yeah. Never mind that you're homeless, we're going to have a deep and meaningful conversation. I'm aware of this. As I get older, I don't like change as much. And I find it harder. So you young people, do all your changing while you're young, because it's much, much easier. Have a good sense of how much time a pastoral session is going to take. You know, what do you want to cover in it? What's going to be a sensible length of time? Be realistic. We're all sinners. We all have feet of clay. And we're all journeying together to glory. One last little recommendation that I would make is, you know, particularly for those in formations relationships, is book your next session before you part on this session. So you've always got the next one in the diary. Otherwise, when it comes round to be due, you then can't get in the diary for another 2-3 weeks. And that's a faff and a pain. So those are some things I wanted to rattle through. And I have rattled through them, not quite as quickly as I'd hoped. And I'm actually going to ask Mags to come up. And I'm going to hand the session over to her now. And she's going to share and help us further.
Great. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. If you don't know me, I moved to London about 4 years ago. And I made my underway commitment a little while ago. I asked two married friends in community what was helpful for our pastoral relationship when I journeyed with each of them for about 2 or 3 years, actually, separately with these two ladies, probably some years back. And they had two things they mentioned that were common, so I'm going to share them. They said that they found our pastoral meetings useful as milestones, as a chance to reflect, as a chance to kind of pause, to look back, and a chance to sort of celebrate obstacles, to kind of look back at sort of progress, celebrate sort of successes, look at obstacles, celebrate successes, and sort of look forward. So it was always helpful to say the next step. What's the next step in this big thing that you want to move ahead? The other thing they said is they experienced that I was for them, and that I wanted their good. So when you and I were talking about the pastoral relationship, I wanted to mention that. And they said that I was for them even when we disagreed, and that I was for them even as life was difficult, and that they knew I was for them even when I didn't have much time or energy. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that I asked them, you know, what was helpful in the one-to-one pastoral relationship. And they said that life is full and that it's very helpful to just have somebody that's sort of checking in with you so that you can not just have a whole year pass and not sort of figure out where you're going and not be accountable to say, oh, that's something I wanted to move ahead. In a moment, I'm going to ask Eleanor to come up and join me. Because Hugh asked me for a bit of a personal testimony on receiving and giving pastoral care. And a few years ago, the Potters, who look after a formations program in our community, which is where people come to figure out if they want to be part of us, they asked me to look out for Eleanor. So she's going to help me with this. But before she comes up, I wanted to mention that because life is full, and because many of us have family in other nations, we have many friends, we have lots of commitments, it can be hard to stay abreast of kind of somebody's life. So we're going to share three things that helped Eleanor and helped me in our pastoral relationship. The first is about topics, planning our meetings ahead. The second is about how we stay in touch in between meetings. And the third is how we build trust together and how we have done that. So she's going to come up. I'm going to reduce this. Are we doing all right? James, is that fine? Do you want to use that one? If James says you can, he's in charge of the camera, so I don't want to cause complete chaos. Great. Anyway, it's been a joy journeying with Eleanor for the last 2 years, and in her wisdom, she suggested this would be a good way to approach this, and that was about 3 days ago, and I said, well, let's do it then. So yeah, here we go. Over to you.
Yes, so the first area Mags mentioned was about agreeing with topics in advance of each meeting. So the reason I find this helpful is that I need a little bit of time to think about it, to pray about it, to reflect about it, and to just prep what is important to discuss in those areas. As Mags suggests those topics, it shows me a real attention to my life, a real attention to what is important in my life at that moment, a real sense of her love for me and for those areas. And then when we actually get together to talk about those things, it provides a real focus for that conversation, whether that's a focus on family or on service or on job changes or on moving house or on whatever else might be important at that stage in my life.
Brilliant. And I do that because it means I don't sit in front of somebody and go, oh my gosh, what is it we're supposed to be talking about? Like, oh, I can't remember what's important. It also stops me from leading the conversation somewhere that isn't helpful. Because that was, if you're in your 20s, 2 weeks is a long time. 2 months is an eternity. So that's why I do that, because life could have changed since we last met.
Second, the checking in between meetings. For us, that's a combination of messages and voice notes. Mags loves a voice note. And the reason I find that helpful is it just means that I can share at any time. I know I won't disturb Mags because she'll just listen to it when she has the time and the headspace to listen to it. It means that I can share the messiness or maybe the rawness of that moment or of that decision, whatever it is. It also means that I don't forget that moment and forget what the Lord might be trying to do through that particular experience, which by the time we meet, I am very likely to have forgotten. It also means that Mags can respond in real time with an encouragement, with a reflection, with a prayer, anything else that might be helpful in that moment. And again, when we then get to meet, it's a really helpful checking in point to sort of debrief about what the Lord was doing in that space.
And if you don't know about voice notes, talk to some of the Lebanese men. I've learned all I know from Lebanese people about voice notes. But the reason that's helpful is because I've had a couple of decades more community experience than somebody that I'm pastoring. And so if I have a sense, I have to be so careful about how I give that, because it can sound like this is the word of the Lord. And I might just be saying, what about Jeremiah 13? So sometimes the voice notes back and forth, which doesn't happen often, it's like two or three times between meetings, it just means I can say, I'm not sure about this. I wonder that thing you were worried about, what about Jeremiah 13? And then it's not like a real serious kind of instructive thing. So I think we're on the last one.
Yes, final one. So building that mutual trust. So just picked one example that works for us, which is me coming to help Mags build IKEA furniture or similar. Firstly, I just love that. Genuinely love building IKEA furniture. So it gives me a lot of joy. But I think more importantly, it prevents me from feeling like I'm a burden to Mags in some way, that it's a one-way relationship and that it's taking so much energy from her or whatever, you know, the lies that we can tell ourselves. It's a really great way for me to be useful and helpful and to love her. It's that sort of mutual blessing.
Well, some of you know that I learned my youth work in youth initiatives, and one of the main things we learned was ownership and giving people a place. And Alpha, the Nikki Gumbel model, which I learned in about 1999, is also about giving people a place and having them help. So in some ways, this is partly something in the Christian church that I've seen work for me, but it also genuinely makes me think, I actually hate building IKEA furniture. Eleanor can come and help, and then while she's doing that, I can make dinner, and then we can have a pastoral conversation. So this clearly doesn't work for everybody, but there's a kind of a ownership, staying a little bit connected, but Eleanor knows I'm a busy person, and I'm probably not going to be really on top of all of her life, but I can be on top of what's the next thing we're going to talk about. So anyway, I don't know if any of that makes sense, but we've had some fun, and yes, she's a delight, as you can see.
That's wonderful. Thank you so, so much. Thanks, Mags. Thanks, Eleanor. So really, just a last little closing statement. Brothers and sisters, I commend our pastoral care to you as something we should treasure as part of our life together, as a way that the Lord can meet us and work in us, as a way that we can help each other to run the race well, as an encouragement to faithfulness to the call the Lord has placed on our lives, that we may better know and reflect His glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.